With God's help, I'd like to read out of the book of 2 Peter chapter 3.
Čitaće se iz Svete reči Gospodnje iz druge poslanice Petrove, glava 3. Druga poslanica Petrova, 3. glava.
This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you in the both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. In account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away of the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow before him in prayer. As the Apostle Peter writes in his writings, one of the things that I personally can really appreciate is the fact that what he says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. In the previous chapters, in chapter 1, he talks about it again. He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And then he says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. So what is he referring to in remembrance? What are we to remember? Certainly, we're reminded, if you will, on a daily basis that we're God's children. We certainly haven't forgot that, those of us that are. But maybe we can quite remember who preached last Sunday and what did they preach on? What was the chapters? Can we remember that? So you see, he points out here that by way of remembrance, that we should remember some of the things that we have learned. It's not hard to remember that Christ died for our sins, that he rose the third day. We don't have any problem remembering that. But some of the things that he writes in his writings, as well as the Apostle Paul, which he mentions in here, that they remember, that we remember some of the things that he wrote of how we ought to live our lives, the faith that we need to have, the promises that are in his word that we need to remember. And sometimes it's easy to forget, especially when you get my age. It seems to be a whole lot easier to forget now than ever. It's just the way it is. It's life. And so we have to work on remembering things. At home, we have to write stuff down. We got a calendar. We have to write what we're going to do in the next few days. And I even write down what I did in the last few days. Because sometimes I forget, I remember that. I got it written down. So I look, yeah, sure enough, that's when I did it. So you see, our memory sometimes gets a little fuzzy, if you will. And so here he talks that he wants to stir up our minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us apostles, the Lord and Savior. So in other words, he's telling us here that we need to try and remember in every way that we can what is written in the scriptures. This is what he's talking about. That's why he mentions about the prophets and the apostles, what they had taught, what they had preached. And so he wants them to remember these kinds of things. But he also reminds us here that knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Another thing we better remember. Now, the Apostle Peter calls it the last days. Here it is, what, a couple thousand years later, and we're calling it the last days. But I believe that this day and age, we're find more and more scoffers than ever before. I can't say how many there were 50 years ago, because I was a child. I don't remember those kinds of things. But I know that today, that the fact that you're a Christian, and the fact, especially this time of season, this time of year, when the world, many in the world, commemorate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see it all over the place. And so there are people that are totally against this. In fact, there's organizations that would demand that they take down certain scenes that would remind them of the birth of Jesus Christ. They don't want nothing to do with it. It's city property, it's state property, whatever it is. Take it down. No, we don't want this. These are the scoffers that we're dealing with today. And that's more and more. That's only one aspect of it. There's all sorts of things are coming into this world that the Antichrist, these people that want nothing to do with Christ, they want nothing to do with salvation, they want nothing to do with God, and many of them are actually atheists, don't even believe in God. And these are the kinds of things that we're facing this day and age more than ever, I believe, in the time of history. And that's why I believe he can say in these last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts. And usually that's the reason I believe that so much of this is going on. Because people get their own ideas, they get their own thoughts. They believe in scientists, and scientists can't prove everything. And so what do they? They believe what they want to believe. And as a result, become scoffers of God's word. It might seem to you a little strange that there are people right in here in the United States of America that don't believe in the birth of Jesus Christ. Yet, they'll celebrate. And you know, not we heard not too long ago that there are people that they don't want you to say Merry Christmas. They want you to say Happy Holidays. It's offensive to them to say Merry Christmas. Say Happy Holidays. Wait a minute. Why Happy Holidays? What's the holiday? If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you don't believe in his birth, and you don't believe in Christmas, then why bother telling me Happy Holidays? Forget the holiday. Forget the happy. Just go on and move on. So you see, these are the scoffers that we're facing today. And to tell me that it's offensive to you if I say Merry Christmas to you? You see, there's something wrong with this picture. But I'm telling you, it's more and more in this day and age. And there are attorneys, if you will, that are making money, big bucks, fighting these kind of issues for these people. That's a fact. Believe it or not. And this is the day and age in which we live. There will be scoffers. It's more and more than ever before. And so he goes on to warn us of this. Even some will say, where is the promise of his coming? And since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So he said they don't even want to believe this back then. What about today? Nothing's changed. It's all, Christ is not coming. Who are you trying to kid? Don't even believe this stuff they tell you. When you die, it's all over with. No. No, when you die, it's not all over with. When you die, it's only the beginning. Only the beginning. And you're either going to be in hell or you're going to be in heaven. One or the other. But it's only the beginning. And you better keep this in your memory. Because it's true. And so he goes on to talk about this. He said they're willing and are ignorant of. And he's talking about by the word of God of heavens of old and of the earth standing in of the water and in the water where the world was then being overflowed with water perished. There's actually people that don't even believe that there was a flood. Scientists can't prove some of this stuff, so it can't be true. The world, there's no way that this world could have been fully flooded, everything gone. And yet they can't quite explain what that thing is that's in Mount Arafat in India that looks like an ark, and they'll let no one get near it. And they can't. And they got all kinds of technology that has taken pictures of this, and it has a resemblance of a ocean going a vessel of some sort. But there are people that write it off. No way. Not true at all. It just can't happen. These are scoffers. They're ignorant. Says they don't even want to believe none of this stuff. The day and age in which we live. And so he goes on to say, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So you see that same word that said that there was a flood, that same word said that there was a beginning, that said that there was 6 days in which the earth was formed and man, all that's in it, and then he rested the seventh. That same word was Jesus Christ, given by God, and it's the same word that we have today that we can read, meditate on, and believe in. And yet there are scoffers who have nothing to do with it. Don't want to hear it. And so you see, this is why the Apostle Peter brings us, he says, by way of remembrance. And we need to remember these sorts of things. Because there are those that are opposed to God's word. So he goes on to say, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is as with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. In other words, time is nothing to God. It could be one day, 1,000 years. If you think about it, and I've thought about this many times, how the Lord never sleeps and never slumbers. You realize that? He never, ever, from the time of beginning of the creation, has never slept and never. He's always there because he's a spirit. He needs to be worshipped in truth and in spirit. And so as we believe this, and we understand that 1,000 years is the same as one day, and one day is 1,000 years. Is that too hard for God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Maybe hard for us to grasp and understand. We think back 10 years, 15 years ago, it's like, man, not a long time ago. 50 years ago, I was in high school. Good grief. Yeah. And it seemed like, whoa, time is slipping away. But to God, one day, 1,000 years, don't make any difference. One of these days, though, the time is going to come to an end. And that's what he goes on to talk about here. One day, the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is something I can very well remember my mother telling me. That if I didn't turn from my wicked ways, I was going to go to that hot place. And this is what it's talking about here. This earth is going to melt with fervent heat. Everything that you and I have, everything that we possess, we think we want or keep or don't want, don't keep, it's all going to burn up one day. And it's going to come, and it's going to come quickly. And that's why he said it's going to come as a thief in the night. But the Apostle Peter also reminds us that we shouldn't be, as the Apostle Paul writes in Thessalonians, we should not be surprised at this day coming. Not at all. Those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, we're expecting this day to come. We're looking forward to it, in fact. And one day, it's going to happen. We don't know when. As a matter of fact, don't have the foggiest idea. But you know what? It really doesn't make any difference. Even in one day is 1,000 years. It doesn't matter. It's going to come. I believe it. I remember it. And you better do the same. Every one of us here within the sound of this voice. Because it is going to happen. It's the truth. It's God's word. And it's going to take place. And he goes on to say, then seeth then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So he reminds us here, okay, you know this. You got to remember. You're remembering it. You know it's going to take place. You don't have no doubt in your mind. How then should we live? As he says here, all holy conversation and godliness. These are the things that he wanted us to remember. How to live our lives that would be pleasing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to God. To remember these things. And to remember that he says in his word that it's going to take place one of these days, the Lord's coming back. And there are those that as he says there, where's the promise that he's coming? They don't believe it. They scoff at it. He's coming. He's coming, and you know, he may not come in your day and age. He may not even come in mine. I don't know. But I do know this, that you can be taken out of this life, and then it doesn't make any difference. If you're not ready, it's too late. It's over. You're done. So this is the things that we need to remember. Bring by the way of remembrance these things that are going to take place. Don't be like the scoffers and doubt. Don't be like those that say, where is his coming? All things are the same. That's a form of unbelief. You know what the Bible says to unbelievers? Where they're going to go? They're categorized with the lawyers and the liars and the thieves and the adulterers and every other evil sin that there is. That's who the unbelievers are linked with. And if you don't believe that you're going to perish when you die, if you're not ready, then you're an unbeliever. And it's going to happen to you. You better believe it, and you better remember it. This is why I believe that the Apostle Paul writes, or Peter writes to us here to remind us of these things. We need to be reminded from time to time that this life can be short. You know what they say about old age? That a lot of people it's deprived of. They die young. Yeah. They don't ever see old age. So you think you're going to be able to wait until you get a little older and then you're going to come to the Lord? I'm telling you, you may not make it. You may not never see 25 years old. You may not see 30. You may not see 20 somewhere. It's just something to think about. It's something to remember and call your attention to. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. You might never see tomorrow. Christ said, don't try to borrow from tomorrow. Today. You live today as it is today. Sufficient is the day of the evil thereof, it says. And so, let's just take it one day at a time. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that the Lord, if you're unconverted, is the day that the Lord is calling you. And you have an opportunity to make that choice. But if you choose not, you're running on your own risk. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about these fires that they had out in California. You know how many acres, how many homes, people have died burning? It's dry there. It's burning, I mean, and then to add to it, along comes a big wind, and it just fuels it, and it just burns, and it's so hot that the firefighters can't even get near it. This, to me, I believe the Lord is showing a small glimpse of what this world is going to be like when it burns. You and I don't have no clue because we're not in California. But you can see it on the news. You can see what it's doing, the damage that it's doing. One of these days, not only California, but the whole world is going to be on fire like that and burning. Unquenchable. They're doing everything they can think of. They finally have somewhat got a handle on it. And probably only because of the rain that came along and helped quench it some. But they was just like, what do we do? We can't do nothing. They get airplanes. They get big things full of water, and they dump it, and they put chemicals on to try to squelch it, and they dig trenches, and they try to avoid any dryness and make a big path. The wind comes along and blows, jumps it right over, and it just keeps on burning. Can you imagine the whole world on fire like that? No escape? No quenching? Is this the chance and the risk you want to take, my friend? This way you want to live your life? The choice is yours. So you see, as he says here, but wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. With peace, without spot, and blameless. I challenge you, my brother and sister, and friend in the truth, look up what it means. Search out what it means in the scriptures to be in peace, without spot, and blameless. You will read the scriptures and you will find that this is what God expects of us. Christ is coming back. He's going to take his own. And he's going to take up the church, and he claims that it's going to be blameless and without spot. You know why that is? That's because there is a certain number of people on the face of this earth that believe. They're not scoffers. They believe firmly in the Word of God, and they trust in him, and they put their life on him, and the things of this world mean nothing because they are so in tune to the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and they're God's children. And there's no doubt. There's every shadow of doubt is erased from their mind that they will, in fact, spend eternity in heaven. This is being blameless. This is being without spot. This is having the peace of God within your heart, knowing and believing. There's no doubt in your mind that you will, in fact, be with Christ throughout all eternity. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what the desire of every single one of us, including our friends in truth? Yes, that is what we want. And he's coming back, and he's going to be taking us up to be his own. And so he encourages us here. As he says in an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And then he talks about also the epistle speaking of them in these things in which are sometimes hard to be understood. And that's true. Some of the scriptures that the Apostle Paul writes is a little bit hard to understand. You know, someone asked about, can you believe and not understand? Yeah. Yes, you can believe. You can believe every bit of the revelations, but you may not understand it. And there's a lot of other scriptures that you may not quite understand. But how do you understand? You know how you understand? You read it. You study it out. You search the scriptures. It's in here. But you got to be devoted to do this. You can't just do it on a whim and think you're gonna have all the knowledge that you ever needed. No, you have to look and study out God's word and know what it means. And as he says here, that they which are unlearned and unstable rest. In other words, rest meaning that they distort the scriptures. And so there are those that are like this, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. They don't understand. They don't even try to understand. Why is that? You know why that is? Because they don't want to face what the truth of the gospel is, and that is that Christ is coming back, that this earth is going to burn with fervent heat. You see, people don't want to read this. They don't want to hear this. They just want to hear, oh, love and peace and joy. And when I die, it's all over with. Don't be deceived. Brothers and sisters and friends of the truth, don't be deceived. That's not the way it is. It's not that way at all. We've got to believe the scriptures and all of it and understand it. And so he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away of the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfast. So in other words, what he's saying here, as strong as you think your faith is, and I think my faith is, we can still be deceived by the deceiver. He's very good at it. Very good at it. And if he can put the least little doubt in your mind, if he can put the sin in your life so that you can say, oh, wow, I can't. I've sinned and I'm... No, don't let him fool you. Don't let him deceive you. That's why we bring these things to our remembrance, so that we know the adversary of our soul and what he does to us, what he can do to us. And we need to believe he has a way of doing things. And we can be deceived. We can be drawn away in the error of the wicked from our own steadfastness. But if you, I believe, I truly believe, if you stay in the Word, you read it on a daily basis, or often as you can at least, pray and attend church, the Scriptures tell us you won't fall. You won't fall because you're by way of remembrance, you've remembered the things that the Bible has taught you, and you have a love for Christ, you have a love for God, you have a love for the brotherhood, and as a result, you want to be with them, you want to be in their midst, you want to read God's word, you want to know more about it. All that contributes to our peace with God, to our being blameless, to be faultless. This is what it means. And so as he says, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to him be glory both now and forevermore. So he encourages us here. Grow in your spiritual life. How are you going to grow? There's only one way. That's to read his word, study it, understand it. And you will grow. You will grow in the grace of God. You will understand. The Bible promises us, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. He will comfort you. He will guide you. He will convict you. We've got to believe that. And we've got to remember that. And all of this contributes then to the grace of God. Thanks be to God. He has given us his grace and his truth. May God bless the words upon our heart.
Through God's word, we know that the truth is that God is. He always was, and he always will be. That is truth. And he created the heavens and the earth, and he sent his only begotten Son. And he gave a message to all that whosoever would believe in Jesus Christ would not perish but have everlasting life. That was the message, and that is truth. And so all mankind falls into two categories, those that believe and those that believe not. That was true in the time of Christ. There were those that when Jesus brought forth the word of God, there were those that accepted it and believed it. I think of the man that was born blind. He accepted it and he believed it. And those that interacted with him that was born blind did not believe it. They fell into the category of those that would not believe. In the time of the apostles, The same was true. There were those that believed the message that Jesus was the Christ, and there were those that would not believe that message. The same is true in our time. There are those that believe that Jesus is the Christ, and there are those that will not believe. And so the Apostle Paul Peter here is reminding us and saying, know these truths. Know these truths and be reminded of them. Here's a truth. This is a truth. The world will burn up and there will be nothing left. That is a truth. It's going to burn away with a fervent heat. There are those that will believe that, and there are those that don't believe it. So for us who are believers, our response to this truth that the world will burn up with a fervent heat, our response to that is, the manner of person we ought to be is in all holy conversation and godliness. That's our response to that truth that the world will burn away, that we would be in all holy conduct and all holy living, being separated unto God's will and his desire and godliness. The second truth is, here written in this epistle, is that there is going to be a new heavens and a new earth. That's the second truth. We as believers, we believe that. Our response to that truth is that we may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. That's our response to that truth. Being in peace. The Bible says, follow peace and holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. And the Bible also defines blameless as being those who do not murmur and who do not dispute. The Bible says, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless. And so perhaps our takeaways from this morning's message is that our response to the truth, our minds being stirred up to this truth, is that we ought to walk in these five ways: all holy conversation, godliness, peace, without spot, and blameless. Amen.
Amen.